Homeschooling is an epic investment of your time, energy, and on days, your sanity. Our goal is to come alongside you with weekly encouragement and practical help so you can homeschool boldly. Hello and welcome to the Homeschool Boldly podcast brought to you by Homeschooling Today magazine. Ashley Wiggers here with Pat Murray of CTC Math. Pat, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for inviting me. I'm really pleased to be here. It's a bit early for me. We're on a different side of the world, but let's go.
You are, yes. You're halfway around the world. You are living in Sydney, Australia with your family over there and your father to 10, which is just amazing. So, Pat, you're the founder of CTC Math, and I know you've had a long and successful career both teaching and tutoring math students. We're really excited to have you today. And I wanted to ask you, you know, what is it that makes you passionate about math?
Oh, that's a great question. Before I answer that, I'm just going to say congratulations to all your listeners. You've got a group there that are homeschooling their kids and taking that responsibility to do that. I really admire that. So I'm really, really pleased to be here. Why am I passionate? Well, I always found, even from a very young age, I just sort of loved numbers. I loved working with numbers and did a lot of puzzles early in my schooling days. I was lucky in the fact that I not only enjoyed it, but I found maths pretty easily. Sometimes I'll say maths, by the way, instead of math, because that's the way we go in Australia. But what I did find is over the years, I realized I was fairly talented in math and did well at school. And I can't remember when I actually wanted to become a math teacher, but I think I was probably about maybe 13 or 14, I guess, and because I really admired the teachers that I had. Again, I was pretty lucky to have some pretty good teachers. So it was sort of a natural progression for me to go into math teaching. I found, again, even while I was at university, that I can particularly remember one incident when we were learning to be teachers, were given I guess it was a fairly complicated geometry question, and we were to bring the solution to class the next day. I've got to confess, I wasn't the best student, so I actually didn't do any work on that until I got into the classroom, and the lecturer was asking people to come up and go over the solutions, and the ones who could solve it, they were almost doing a whole blackboard of solutions, and I was sort of sitting at my desk working it out, so this is 18, 19 at this stage, age-wise. And I realized I actually could knock this question over in about three lines. And I thought, I must be doing something wrong. Anyway, I looked at it and again, I think this is actually right. So I said, I'll have a go at this. But I said to the lecturer, look, I seem to be able to do it in just a few lines. And the lecturer thought, well, I don't think that's going to be the case. But as it was, I did solve it in just a few lines. And it was pretty simple. And everyone thought, oh, yeah, we should have thought of that. So I actually thought at that stage, okay, well, I'm probably recently gifted, luckily, in teaching as well, because these are all, you know, practicing teachers themselves, and they didn't seem to see what I was seeing. So then, you know, when I got into the classroom, I did find that I was able to resonate pretty well with where the kids were at. And that's one of the skills I've learned over the years, that while someone might be very passionate about something, they've got to understand that a lot of the people they're teaching aren't going to be like that. And it is most often the case that you've got to teach them in a way that they can understand pretty quickly and they can get some success pretty quickly. And as I was teaching, you know, we had already started our family. We married very young. And so I did a lot of tutoring after school. And it was interesting because after, you know, doing that one-on-one tutoring, I could show a student something and then, I can see by their response whether they got it or not. I actually found that experience probably much better. Well, in fact, it was much better than anything I learned at college or university, because I could test a few things out. I mean, not saying they were guinea pigs, but I was helping them, but I could see which methods were good, which ones weren't. One of the things that I always found when we were learning to become teachers is because maths can have different ways to solve something, I would ask the question to our lecturers and I said, which is the best way? You know, there's three or four methods in this textbook. Which is the best way? And generally they would answer, well, just trial. We'll just do one way and just sort of stick with it because they're all much the same. that's what I was told. But in reality, it was vastly different. Okay. There are some methods which are terrible to teach, and they exist in textbooks. It's a bit hard to sort of weed them out because they've been there forever. And there's other methods that the kids will switch on much easily. So it took me probably 10 years while I was teaching and tutoring, really understanding which were the best ways. And over the years, myself and my brother, and I had another business partner at the time, he was a math teacher as well, started creating the very early version of these videos that have been used so well now. What ended up being the CTC math program, so about 25 years ago now, I guess.
So what was it that inspired you then for CTC math? Was it having these solutions and helping students find the most effective way for them to learn? Is that what drove you all to create the program?
It was to see that by using the videos, it took a lot of pressure off the kids, because even when I was sitting next to someone and showing them something, I'd ask them, okay, did you get that? And you sort of, you know, they'd always say they did get it, right? But you sort of think, I don't really think you got it, but let's try this question. And then they're halfway through and they said, no, Pat, I didn't get it. I said, no, that's okay. And I just showed them again. And sometimes that's all they needed. They just needed that second time showing. I didn't show them anything different. I just went over it again. So I find with the videos, often kids don't get something the first time around. It just needs another time or a couple more times. But I find that that's probably the most successful part of our program, that they can watch that video. And the videos are very concise and they're tailored to get the kids to be able to understand it. And we really avoid sort of math jargon and all that sort of stuff. But be able to watch that video and then practice the questions in a short time after it, that's what we found got the best results for any kids, which is quite different from a classroom situation where they might be listening to some instructions for about 30 minutes or so and then trying some questions. I mean, you know, 30 minutes later, they've forgotten what they did at the start. So I think that's probably the key. The videos are smaller chunks and then the kids can practice it.
And you have a multi-sensory approach is what you kind of talk about. So can you tell us why it's important to have a multi-sensory approach when it comes to math?
Yeah. It's really important. I mean, kids all, they learn quite differently. So if you can engage as many senses as possible. I mean, some kids are quite good at just reading stuff and then from reading it, being able to go from there. But that is what we found, certainly in math, the minority, okay? So what we have found, the multi-sensory, you know, the video, watching it and listening to it, and then practicing it straight away, all of those things combined make a fantastic way of learning. The other thing we've really found too is that when the kids are watching a lesson, and this is probably more so the older kids than the youngest ones, but we have lesson summaries as well. If they've got the lesson summary printed out while they're watching it, you know, with a highlighter, they can highlight some main points or make even little notes in that. That sort of engagement as well is quite effective.
That's true. Yeah. As many senses as you can have involved in a particular subject, you're helping them practice what they're learning. You're also helping them remember it, aren't you?
Yeah, for sure. And the key is getting them that practice straight away. I think the quickest time between watching something and then practicing it, yeah, that's a big key to success.
And when it comes to a mastery approach, can you explain what that looks like?
Yeah, building the foundation, okay, because that's going to ensure a solid understanding of basic concepts. And they're crucial for grasping more complex topics, you know, going further. So the idea of the instruction to be very explicit, that'll help with the foundation. That also builds confidence. When you do a mastery approach, you know, you're talking about mastering a bit of a chunk at a time. And that also builds confidence in terms of understanding a topic. And if you haven't quite understand a topic or part of a lesson, as a parent, you really want your child to say, okay, well, we can go back and there's no problem going back a little bit just to fix up any sort of foundation stones that might be missing. Okay. And they will be missing. So don't be surprised if you're with your kids trying something and they haven't quite grasped it because they've missed something earlier on. Okay. That's fine. Go back. Don't feel yourself under pressure that, oh, I've got to keep moving. Okay, you can go back. And I've talked to lots of parents over the years where they've felt that, okay, as, you know, their child might be a particular age and they might be thinking, oh, you know, they should really be at this stage by now and we're not. And they put undue pressure on themselves we found many instances where a child has sort of covered 2 or 3 years of math in 1 year, sort of catching up because they just start thinking about it or just things click. So that's important. And where mastery comes into it, it helps a long-term retention. Okay, if you've mastered your basics and so on, then later on when you've got to bring them back, that is really going to be helpful because as math gets more complex, you're wanting to be bringing back stuff that you've learned earlier on reasonably quickly. I guess if I sort of tie it into learning your times tables or with rote learning, because sometimes rote learning is given a bad name, but it's really critical that the kids know all of that stuff, instant recall of basic math facts. And I use an analogy where if you were playing basketball and you had at a certain level, you know, when you start playing basketball, you got to learn how to dribble. And when a kid learns to dribble, they'll be using all their concentration just to get the dribbling right. But further down the track, as they progress, they're part of a team. The dribbling is just subconsciously they're doing that. You know, what they're doing is looking for who am I going to pass it to? Who, you know, how do we get down the court? They're thinking strategies. And that's a bit like math. You don't want to get to a stage further down in your math journey where you've got to start thinking, oh, what's 3 times 7? And use any sort of energy thinking about what 3 times 7 is. Okay, that's the dribbling. You just want, that's going to be subconscious. That's instant recall. So that again is really important with the mastery approach that you got. Your foundations are covered and in that is a lot of the times tables, basic recall, instant recall. That's really important to get that covered.
So you would encourage parents, because I think there is pressure and we do often feel this need to keep pushing our children along if they've got something mostly, or maybe they get it some of the time. Well, we need to keep pushing on through this curriculum or whatever it is we're working with them in. And so what ends up happening is now you're pushing them down the road and they lose the confidence because it's always a struggle. So I really like what you said, that the mastery approach, you're building confidence because they're confident that they can do and complete that topic before they move on to the next one. And you're building on that foundation. So how crucial is that for our kids? If we can take a deep breath, because it doesn't really matter, does it, when that happens, so long as it happens, because you're building on those basics and that foundation. And every child is going to do that at a different time. We're all different in the way that we learn and process. And I'm sure you saw that when you were tutoring.
Yeah. And I guess that's why I like these sort of, you know, opportunities to talk, because often you won't hear this. You won't, you'll understand that, okay, your child is 10 years old, so they should be up to here, right? But every child's different. Every situation is different. I've seen that. Well, they're all different. Even as a parent, to take that pressure away from you, I know it's difficult. We've got 10 children ourselves, and some of them are really good at math, and one of them's a math teacher herself, and others weren't so good, right? So, and that's just the way life is, and different kids, their skills or their abilities are in different things. But you're right, you want to get as confident as the kids can be in any subject they're doing. But math, if you think about it, when you first started with your kids in math, they probably would have been confident because they didn't have any bad experiences and they probably would have enjoyed it and got certainly the basics. But sometimes if they're not so confident now, it probably just means at some stage along the line, they've missed something. And they keep on getting it wrong and they probably haven't had it explained to them well enough or in a way that they can understand it. And then they've had a bad experience and then later down the track, they've got to do that again the next year, possibly that sort of thing. They didn't get it the year before. The next year is a little bit harder. And unless you go back and fix it up, then that's where that confidence can erode and then get to a stage where they convince themselves that they're no good at math. And that's a difficult one because, I've had parents say, oh, well, it's no surprise you're no good at math because I'm no good at math. And as a parent, if you say that, don't say that. Just sort of think, yeah, you just might say, oh, math is sometimes a bit of the struggle, but this is how we can get it fixed. And so if you take that approach that, okay, this is how we can help you get it fixed and you become more confident, and there are ways, then I think that's a much better approach than just saying, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. I was no good at math as well.
Yeah, that just creates a mental block, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, one of the questions that the kids ask, you know, and particularly goes, well, what might be the point of math? Why are we even actually doing that? And sometimes that's a really hard question to answer, because in your own experience, you might actually think, well, okay, well, certainly, you know, as an adult, I really haven't used trigonometry. I haven't used calculus that much. You sort of think, well, what have I used it for? And I think, and it's age appropriate how you explain this as well. But besides real world applications in terms of budgeting and cooking and stuff like that, which they will need to do, but from a young age, they're probably not thinking about that. The idea is not only is it a foundation for learning, but it improves their cognitive abilities. That regular practice of maths, things like logic and reasoning and analytic thinking. So if you can say that, okay, anytime we do maths, you know, it's building your problem solving skills, analytic skills, and I guess a way of explaining that if they're asking, well, what are we actually going to use it for? I think you can always go back is that, okay, it's building your logic, it's building your reasoning. If you take that approach, I think that'll serve you well.
That's good. And that will definitely help with motivation and keeping kids going when they're wondering that question. And I was going to ask you, for the parent out there who is struggling and maybe they've realized, I think I have pushed my child too much, or I don't know where the gap is, but I feel like there's a gap. What would your suggestion be for them to help their struggling student?
Okay. Well, if you recognize gaps, and as a parent, you probably know that straight away that, yeah, there are some gaps. Some diagnostic testing, if you can get some diagnostic testing done. And they can be fairly simple sort of things, and that'll pinpoint where there might be some problems. So you might find, oh, they haven't understood fractions very well, or as an example, so say, okay, well, we might be up to grade 7 in fractions, but they're not anywhere near that level. Let's just go back for a bit. And you might just spend a couple of weeks, you know, forget about the rest of the math at that stage. Just say, okay, well, let's just knock this over. Let's focus on this for a couple of weeks. And so go back. And because there will be a stage where they will have got fractions, okay? So they will, you know, they will understand the fractions at one point, but somewhere along the line, they've lost or they haven't sort of connected one concept to another. So if you go back and fix that, not only obviously will you have fixed a problem, but the confidence that your child will have because you have fixed it, and then they can actually see as well, oh, wow, we can actually fix things that have been a problem, and then they're a problem for a time, but now they're no longer a problem because we went back and fixed it. So even that experience of going back and fixing a particular thing by concentrating on it works wonders for your child's confidence and ability in themselves. So I think if you're a parent and you've found that your child has a few gaps, I think that's probably the best way to address it. And again, don't feel under pressure that, oh, by going back a bit, then I'm sort of going to get a bit behind. You got plenty of time to catch up. I always find that over the years, you have plenty of time to catch up. And as I said, so many parents I've spoken to have said, oh yeah, my child struggled, but bang, then we all of a sudden it clicked. We did about 2 or 3 years of math work, that progress in 1 year, in 12 months. And that's not unusual. So look, yeah, just take the pressure off yourself. Don't worry if you think your child's, you know, falling behind. Go back, sort of fix those areas. And I think it makes life a whole lot easier for your child and for you as a parent as well.
That's really encouraging. And us homeschoolers, we really have the opportunity to go at our child's pace. And that's one thing I love about CTC Math is that it's customizable and it's flexible. So parents can use the program based on where their child is at and what their child needs. So I really appreciate your time today and your insight. I want to encourage everyone, if you haven't tried it or looked at it before, go to ctcmath.com. They actually have a free trial, so you can try it out. And then this is amazing. There is a 12-month money-back guarantee. So thank you for bringing this into the homeschool world. We appreciate you and your insight today.
It's been a pleasure to be here. I really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me, Ashley.
All right, everyone. Until next time, go and homeschool boldly. And remember, you've got this because he's got you. This podcast is brought to you by Homeschooling Today magazine. Homeschooling Today is a quarterly magazine created by real people with a passion for honesty and encouragement. You won't find articles telling you everything you're not doing. Instead, you'll find homeschooling parents who have walked where you are or are currently on the path and want to help you succeed. We want to invite you to subscribe today and join the growing movement of parents who are setting aside comparisons, taking control of their children's education, choosing courage over fear, letting God lead, and homeschooling boldly. Visit homeschoolingtoday.com to learn more.